5:13. We're interviewing, still interviewing Richard E. Rao. It's May 20th, 1998. Mary Harrison interviewing and Gabby Dinman taking notes.
My father, Richard F. Rao.
Okay, Richard, go ahead.
All right, the first thing is a collection of my reviews from the Post-Gazette in the entire year of 1996. It's titled Richard Rao Rants and Raves, and it was compiled by Ruth Ann Malloy, who is also compiling a book on theaters, small theaters in Pittsburgh in the last 40 years. This collection includes the reviews I did at various summer theaters and Pittsburgh theaters during that year of 1996. Here is the show that I did at the Pittsburgh Playhouse in 1994. It's just a little placard or a little postcard advertising the show, and my name is on the back of it with the cast list. In the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in the 1980s did this thing called the dossier, and it was people in Pittsburgh who were prominent in the arts and everything else. And here is the... And they asked you questions, and of course, I one of the questions was, if I can find it, what the city's most overrated person or thing, and I put down bridge reopenings, and who in the world would you like to have dinner with, and I said Woody Allen and Audrey Hepburn, and what is my favorite food, shrimp cocktail, and I think at one point I suggested that I wanted to spend time with the movie actress Daryl Hannah, but I don't know what that means. Anyway, that's the...
You don't want to Xerox this?
No.
Sure. Okay. Today is June 17th, 1998. This is tape number 7, side 13. We are Gabby Dinman and Mary A. Harrison are interviewing Richard Rao at Anison House, bright and early. We are going to...
Shoot the shirt.
Okay, Richard, I have in front of me the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, June 7, 1998, Arts and Entertainment section, Sunday Magazine. And there are... the big splash is Top 50. And it starts, it's spring, and spring means one thing here in arts and entertainment land. It's top 50 time. Not again, we underlings groaned. It's too soon, we argued that things haven't changed that much from last year when the Post-Gazette debuted, I'm really reading perfectly, it's Pittsburgh top 10 culture power broker story. And the Richard Rao is one of the power brokers.
That's right, you owe me $500. Starting now.
Put it on my bill.
Yes, this is, I was very pleased to get this, surprised actually, to get this, and I've become number 33 in this list of 50. I don't exactly know how they arrive at this, but we are called cultural power brokers, and
Does some of it have to do with the fact that you gave a good sum of money?
I gave money, but I'm also writing, commenting on the cultural scene in Pittsburgh, being part of it, acting in it, running a film series, which is also part of the cultural thing in Pittsburgh, and I will read...
That's what I wanted you to
...the actual description. Richard Rao, number 33, theater philanthropist, head of the Cultural Trust Summer Film Series, age 57. That's wrong, actually. They gave me an extra year.
You're 58?
Oh, yes. Claim to fame, Rao's longtime support of arts groups, mainly theaters, has recently become more public. A six-figure gift named the Rehearsal Hall Performing Space in the new downtown public theater after his mother, famed actress Helen Wayne Rao. He also made significant gifts to Gargaro Productions and the Point Park Playhouse, among others. The former head of the Playhouse Film Repertory, Rao, last summer took on the Cultural Trust's new film series and drew more than 8,000 fans to 27 movies over 35 nights, quieting fears that no one would come downtown for movies anymore. Rao also is an actor who will do Beckett's daunting solo, Crap's Last Tape, at the Playhouse in July. He even finds time to review occasional plays for the Post-Gazette.
I thought it was superb.
Did you know ahead of time that you would be in it?
No. I received a call from Chris Rawson, who I assume nominated me on Friday before this came out. And as I said, by a year from now, who knows?
We can separate it. I think we now, need to keep all
to
that.
To complement last year's 1996 reviews, here I am giving over a collection of all my reviews from 1997, and this is a collected compilation called Richard Rao Romps and Rollicks. And it has all of the, and there's some other articles listed in here which are related to theater, but my reviews. And there's some, at the end are pictures of me and many of my friends in the theater community, different stages of different doing different things in different restaurants. And this was a picture I'm looking at now, which is part of the New Works Gala on Sunday, October 5th, 1997, in which we honor those who have done well in the New Works Festival, which is...
Anybody's name that you want to mention?
Well, that's Tom McLaughlin, who runs the... Upstairs Theater, and this is a director, Paula D'Alessandris, who's trying to punch me in the head. That's her problem. And here I'm sitting at a critics table, and to my left is Tom Clinton, no relationship to the president, and his friend Michelle Pilecki, who is the editor, one of the editors of Pittsburgh Magazine, and a little bit further up is David Salinger, who writes for the McKeesport Daily News, and he's an excellent writer and a good person, and he does well. And here I am announcing one of the awards. In a picture, this picture here, it's another page. We have me sitting next to Scott Denier, who is a director and producer. He just finished producing Sylvia in Street Care Named Desire. And to his right is a fellow named Chris Scott, who is an actor, and he produces a series called Sunday Night Live, readings of new plays, of which I occasionally participate. This is Shirley Gottren, who is also a member of fan of the theaters, and that's me. And in this table at the Elbow Room is the only one I recognize here is Paul Kowecki, who lives in New York, and he used to be a student at Point Park College, and that's about it. And then another page here.
The third page of
third
pictures.
Third page of pictures. I don't really... All of these pictures are taken at the Elbow Room. The center picture on page three, to my... if you're looking at me, to my left is Eileen Quigley, who is a playwright. To my right, immediate right, is Ruth Ann Molloy, who is doing the compilation called The Golden Age of Pittsburgh Theater. To her right is a woman named Pam, and I can't remember her last name, and she's also very involved in theater, and that's what this book is all about. Then, this is an article written by Esther Lapidus about my mother when she was very ill, but she was still able to get around and talk and walk and everything. And the article was in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette titled The Charm Lady. She's still the sweetheart of local theater. And it's a nice article which appeared probably in about 1987 when my mother had gotten very ill in 1984. But she was getting around, and this was an article kind of recapping her life and that sort of thing.
You should mark one or two. Should I mark that
one? This next item that I have in my hand is from the Pittsburgh, I'm not absolutely sure of this, probably the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's titled Helen Wayne Rao, Playhouse star breaks record of performances. And what it is, simply, is an article about her in 1963 or 4, when she had done "Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet and I'm Feeling So Sad" at the Playhouse. And this was simply an article to indicate her accomplishments and other matters like that. For example, I'll quote part of this. A native Pittsburgher, Mrs. Rao attended South Hills High School, then studied drama at Carnegie Institute of Technology, marrying Richard Rao right after her graduation. Mrs. Rao has one son, Richard Enoch Rao, called after his father and his grandfather. Young Dick is taking his doctorate at Pitt in English, which I didn't get. I just got my master's, and I have an ABD. I want to remind you ladies of that, meaning all but dissertation. Also, his mother hopes he will write a play someday. Though Mrs. Rao prefers comedy, she has had many dramatic parts. At Tex Little Theater, under the direction of Ben Iden Payne, she had numerous roles in Shakespearean plays. Her first casting at the Playhouse, by the way, was in Art and Mrs. Bottle. She has also taken part in radio and TV series and programs. Offstage, Mrs. Rao finds time to enjoy all the arts, music, painting, books, quote, anything related in some way to the theater, unquote, she said. But she likes cooking, too, and enjoys housewifely duties in her home in Fair Oaks Avenue, where she and her husband went to live after their marriage.
Okay, do you know what year this was? Have you any idea?
I'd say about 63 or 4. 64 more likely.
Do you have the, you don't know the author of this article?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Now this is, I'm giving this over to you, this is a 20th anniversary brochure, or whatever you want to call it, of the Pittsburgh, what is called the Enoch Rao Club, which I think you have, and this, I don't know much of, you know, there's lots of photographs in here, articles by different people, a good deal of, and again, in here, is my grandfather, the picture of him, this is what is the name of the place dedicated to, and then a picture of my father, next to him, his sister, Helen Rao, and my grandmother, Bertha Rao, and this was taken in their living room. And this is essentially 1940, the year I was born, so the photograph. And again, there's articles about the Enoch Rao Club and various things. It's dedicated to Dan Schmidt. There's a letter from my grandmother, a message from our mother, June 1940, to the Enoch Rao Club and the people involved in it. Poetry, little articles. A little thing says, congratulations, Dick and Helen. Mazel tov to Dick and Helen Rao on the arrival of an heir on April 23rd, 1940, tagged Richard Enoch. Everybody doing fine, including the pater, who is just emerging from what looks like a dense fog. That sort of thing. It's a nice, chatty little pamphlet, which you can have. And here's a photograph of the 20th anniversary banquet of the Enoch Rao Club at the William Penn Hotel on February 10th, 1940.
You know who these people are?
No, except for, because I've become very familiar with him, Bill Miller, who is still, at this time, as of today, alive, I don't know. And the rest of these folks, I mean, this man can tell you who all these people are.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, the picture is titled Our Gang. And it's a whole bunch of people, many of whom were founders, I guess, or were in on the beginning of all this.
I have to put a little bit of a comment in here, because I knew Mr. Passamanic, and he is the, was the executive director of the YMWHA, and maybe he's been interviewed, or, but I just want to mention that he wrote an article for this. They hitched their wagons to a star. I think, no, no, he was an executive director. He was a big time Pittsburgher and had a tremendous impact on
now,
the Y.
Now, as you know, this, the things that I'm turning over are of many types, and so now we have something completely different. In 1995, I occasionally enter a magazine competition in New York Magazine, which is a magazine out of New York City, and Mary Ann Madden is the editor of this, and the contest was to find the opening lines of a badly written bestseller, and I got honorable mention. I'm on page 2 of this compilation. its headline, Marianne Madden, number 819, New York Magazine Competition. And my entry is as follows. Quote, email me or forget it, she shouted, flicking her cigarette ashes on my new rug. Her beady little eyes penetrated my brain like lasers. Quote, I don't care what you do, but no more excuses about how busy you are, unquote. And that made it into this, and I'm now giving you this as a memento. But I have also gotten honorable mention two other times, in this same magazine for entries. I never won it, though.
Okay.
Now, the next thing coming along, am I going too fast? Or all right.
That's up to Gabby.
This is a picture, one of many, and labeled on the back, of my grandfather on my mother's side, Edward Sissonwayne, taken around 1920, perhaps. Could be a little earlier than that.
Do you know where, do you have any idea where this was?
No.
Whether it's the north side or the...
No idea. Could be even in Sandusky, Ohio.
Interesting.
I don't know, but I have many other photographs.
All right.
Now, I may have given you this before, but again, these are photographs of my mother when in the 1930s, and I have labeled on the back what I think are the approximate dates. Both cases are 1934. In my opinion, they are when she got out of Carnegie Tech in 1933. That would be essentially when that is.
Do you think this is a professional photo that she posed for this professionally?
Yes.
And the other, this one looks more like a regular family.
No.
You think this is, they're both professional. Okay. Beautiful looking.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me? Yeah, I thought so. And also that, you know, that's now community center. So he was a big, that's why I mentioned him.
All right. Now this next picture is a picture of my mother in a production called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, I think, or Snow White. And the woman, she's playing a princess, a Snow White, and she's bowing in front of an older, what looks like an older woman, but that woman is Stephanie Cohen, Stephanie Diamond Cohen, who was Harold B. Cohen's wife. And this is a picture, I believe, taken in the early 1930s at Carnegie Tech when she was a student. I could be wrong, but the time frame is certainly between 32 and 34. Now, I didn't label this, but, you know.
Okay, since we're going between your items, one moment, please. I'd like you to tell, just capsule form, in your very articulate way about Harold B. Cohen, who that was. That's not a casual name to...
No, he... it's difficult to explain him, except that he was, I thought, and still do believe, the finest theater critic we ever had in Pittsburgh. He was not an easy man to know, but he was friendly with my parents for many years, and in fact, his daughter Barbara and I used to play together. Sadly, his daughter died at the age of 26. I think she committed suicide. And it was a difficult kind of family life. I'm not sure what... and I didn't know him very well, but I know his reviews. I read them. They were all great. And at one time I heard that he was rumored of being up for the drama post of the New York Times. He was considered a candidate for it. Also, I'm not sure about this, but I think he appears in a movie called Teacher's Pet with Doris Day, in which he plays a newspaper reporter, and they have a scene where he's, you know, at his typewriter. But I've seen the movie, and I never can find it.
And he was also related to Harold Cohen, the physician?
Oh, I don't know. Might be, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
What's his first name?
Harold
B. Cohen.
V.
And I don't know what the V is.
Yes.
In Victor, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really a remarkable critic. He died, I think, in the late 60s.
relatively young. He was a very sort of a moderately sized person,
right.
Very dark, and he had a presence. He always wore...
One of the things I'm going to tell you on this tape, which is kind of, oh my God, it's one of those expose things, is that...
Hard copy.
My mother told me this, so I don't know if it's right or not. I mean, she sometimes wasn't always accurate about stuff, but sometimes she was. Anyway, my father, for some reason, which I don't understand, objected to Harold Cohen's marriage to Stephanie and said that he shouldn't marry her. And this caused a lot of bad blood between the two of them for many years. Later, they patched things up, and I haven't figured out why. I mean, she was a very interesting woman.
What was her name?
Stephanie Diamond.
Okay.
Her mother was a Christian Scientist. And in any case, she... they were married, I assume happily, and she only died a few years ago in her mid-80s. She lived, after his death, she moved to Provincetown, Massachusetts, and lived there the rest of her life.
Is that the Diamond Stone family that shortened to Diamond, or?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, so that's the history of that.
All right, thank you.
The next picture here I find really fascinating. I have it labeled. Edward Sisson Wayne is on the top of this photograph. These two men are flanked by two women. The top man is Edward Sisson Wayne, who is my grandfather on my mother's side, and below him is his father, Max Sisson Wayne. And this picture looks to me like it was taken in Sandusky, Ohio, around the early 1920s. I don't know. I still haven't found out how old this guy was when he died, and I don't know where he died. And I don't know anything about him.
So he's your great-grandfather?
He's my great-grandfather on my mother's side. He is flanked by two women. These two men are flanked by two women whom I believe are... they're related to all these people, but I've forgotten their names.
Interesting.
It is marked on the back of that photograph.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you now some copies of reviews of mine in plays that I did in Pittsburgh. There are more, but I just thought you'd have some of them. This one is titled, half of it's cut off, but it's How the Other Half Loves. It was a review of a play that I did at the Pittsburgh Playhouse with two equity actors named Joe Endis and Celia Howard, and the review is highlighted, for me anyway, by this line. Dick Rao and Deborah Brown are the Detweilers, William and Mary, Mr. and Mrs. No Personality, all contribute to the hilarity, but Rao and Miss Brown steal the show, which
That's
made me feel very good. It was my first equity production, but I was not equity. And I was performing with all equity actors. It was a very, very difficult play. Directed by Tom Thomas, it opened in... October of 1972, ran about 3 weeks. I was rehearsing 5 to 6 hours a day, and I had never done anything like that. And it was exciting, though. Tom Thomas was an excellent director. Very funny play, and it's the only time as an actor in the history of my life as an actor I got applause in the middle of the show on a bit that I did, or was done to me. In the play, I'm supposed to... It's a very... I don't know how I can explain this. The play takes place on two different nights in two different apartments, and yet the action is simultaneous. And if you can think how this works, it's really difficult. So in the play, my wife and I attend a dinner party on one night and attend a dinner party on the other night. And so it was set up so that the stage had a table and another table looking like this. I can't describe it like a cross... I can't describe it. Anyway, we are to swivel from one scene into another scene. And at one point, I get mixed up in a battle between the two young couple, and she throws a pot of soup in his face, and I stand in the middle of this, and they hit me straight on. It was water. I then sit down and politely and quietly swivel into the next scene and ask, could I have some butter? And the audience completely went crazy, and they brought the house down. It only happened once, though. It never happened. I did the same thing every night, but no one ever applauded. It was opening night. I think they had to. But it's a very funny bit because, I'm supposed to be quite normal in the other party, and here I am sitting
full of
on
water.
Stage, totally drenched. I had to do a complete costume change every night because I was soaked, completely soaked.
What was the name of the play?
How the Other Half Loves. It's by the British author Alan Ayckbourn, who is still alive. He has written tons and tons. He used to be called the Neil Simon of British theater, and his plays are not often done here. I've done two of them, this one and Absurd Person Singular, of which I was also an investor.
He spells his name funny. A-L.
Let me see if I can get it here. A-Y-C-K-B-O-U-R-N. It is a tough spelling. This next one is a review of a play I did at the Pittsburgh Playhouse in 1970 by Neil Simon called Star Spangled Girl. It was quite a hit. And the reviewer, Thomas Blakely, said of me, "And Richard Rau is a riot as the gnome-like character who suddenly explodes with romantic passion. As usual, I don't get the girl, but it is a very funny play." Neil Simon said it's one of his least favorites, but from an acting point of view, it really does work. Will Disney directed it, and Wayne Claren was in it, and Cheryl Hauser from CMU, and it was a well-done play, and it played to huge audiences at the Playhouse, and the strange thing about it was a substitute for The Imaginary Invalid. They dropped Molière for Simon, but it worked. In 1973, I did a play at Little Lake Theater, which I performed a lot of shows for in the early 70s, called Love in E Flat. This play received tremendous reviews by Ed Blank, who, and the play was done July 4th or 5th, 1973. He said of me, "Richard Rau proves beyond a doubt he is the funniest young actor in the district." Now, this was tempered later by Blank saying about me that I was one of the funniest young actors in the district. He had to change that. But anyway, this was a very nice thing for him to say, and he gave a wonderful review to all of us. Lynn Schulz, who's now named Lynn Franks, was in it, Ed Kostolak, and Jane Jasolaitis, and George Steinhauser, a lot of the old regulars who aren't really at Little Lake Theater anymore. And that Little Lake Theater is in Cannonsburg, and it's a summer theater, which is now today, this year, celebrating its 50th anniversary.
I just have to comment on Exhibit 105, which is the Star Spangled Girl critique. At the bottom, their advertisement, this was is advertising the film Patton with Scott. And then here, our next exhibit would be 106, The Encore from Walnut Street.
Oh, yes.
And Michelle Benson.
Yes.
And then The Staircase, Liberty Avenue, Mother Bear. Anyway, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. You'll like this one, then. Here's this is another review of How the Other Half Loves from October 1972. And at the bottom here, you have Fred Waring.
Coming to the Syria Mons.
Coming to the Syria Mons, right.
October 28th to the...
Right.
Oh, yes. Isn't that interesting?
And this is another, I should really have put these together, Gabby, sorry, but here is another review of How the Other Half Loves by George Anderson, who became the dominant critic in Pittsburgh for a while, and again, he gave this a very good review. I don't know what he said about me. Oh, here we are. Hilariously played by Richard Rau and Deborah Brown as a monumentally inept pair, which is accurate. Now, this next entry is a story in the Tribune Review by Ed Blank, their theater critic, a collection of Playhouse memories. And what this was the University of Pittsburgh Hillman Library, the Curtis Collection, decided to finally put some sort of exhibit together on Playhouse history. And here's a picture of me next to the gentleman, he's not there anymore, who ran... who was the curator of that collection, David Sleesman. And this was, I really don't know. It's in the here it is, March 6th, 1994.
Because this is a relatively new paper, isn't it?
Yeah, right. And this collection was put together in January of 1994.
And interesting enough, on the back...
Well, on the back is Winona Ryder.
Yes.
Famous actress of our time.
She's fine, isn't she? Yes. Okay, the Tribune Review, which is... Want to make any comment about that paper or not?
I don't like it.
Okay. Why?
Oh, because Richard Scaife runs it. He's a right-winger. We have to stay away from him. He funds a lot of right-wing groups. For those of you who are listening in the 22nd century, the right wing may very well be part of your lives, more so than it is ours now.
Do you think he's supporting Kenneth Starr?
Oh, I would think so. Positively.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to comment on that or on the Kenneth Starr?
No.
Okay.
I just think it's a lot of much ado about nothing.
Okay.
We're talking about the President of the United States at this time, who is Bill Clinton, and his many affairs with different women and all the prosecution going on, and it's a lot